welcome to Blitzcast number 41. I'm your host, Alex Kaftoff. I'm going to bring in my co-host and partner, Ed Hunt, shortly. Ed, let's get right into it without my usual, you know, monologue that I say for a couple of minutes. What a championship game. I mean, Alabama, Clemson, the whole world wanted this. And, you know, great teams obviously met in Santa Clara, California. It's just nobody saw this coming. Nobody saw this blowout that, I mean, Clemson basically dominated the game, and nobody saw that come.
Yeah, and, you know, Alabama really had a lot of bad, I mean, just poor form. I mean, the fake field goal, I mean, that was a joke play, and, you know, they had fumbles, and, you know, it was just, it didn't look like a Saban coach team, really. I didn't really see the Alabama team that I come to expect there.
That was a little bit surprising. The one thing that kind of shocked me was that Alabama couldn't get off the field on third down on defense. And they just, Clemson just marched down the field and converted third downs consistently. And Alabama was unable to do, wasn't able to do much, especially on third down. The fake field goal obviously was a joke. I mean, you never expect something like that out of Saban. And he tried it, and it didn't work. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he put on a show. And I think we saw it last year with Tua when he came into the game. Nobody expected that. But Trevor Lawrence was the starter from day one. And he took control, 347 passing yards and three touchdowns. And he did everything that he wanted out there. I mean, Alabama couldn't find an answer.
Yeah, so, I mean, the conversation now is like people are saying, you know, Trevor Lawrence, could he be number one? I'm not quite ready to put him in that number one category, you know, number one overall pick category, you know, next year yet.
He's not eligible next year.
I think I'm talking about the hypothetical. People are hypothetically speaking, you know, the narrative is, well, why can't he come out? You know, why does he have to play two more years when he played as well as he did? He'd be the number one pick in the draft. And, you know, I've just heard everything from, you know, teams will be sinking their team or picking a bad coach so that they can get Trevor Lawrence number one. I mean, I've just seen so much hype. It's almost ridiculous.
That's how it is. It's, you know, it's the media, and we're in this field as well. And we like to get hyped about the new upcoming star, whether it's in the NFL, whether it's in college or even in high school. And unfortunately, that's how it is. I mean, he won the big game. He led Clemson to another national championship. And I want to see him come back next year. I want to see him improve. Yeah, he's not a perfect prospect by any means. And he's only started as a freshman. And he's got quite a bit of things to work on. And I'm glad he has another 2 years in order to work out all those kinks, because he trusts his arm too much, Ed. I mean, he will test that defense and will throw into those tight windows. So he's got to improve that decision-making a little bit, but I'm sure he will. From a physical standpoint, you talked about it in the beginning of the season that you wanted Trevor Lawrence to be the quarterback at Clemson. He took over that role from Kelly Bryant, and he went off and running. And this is what it led to a national championship for Clemson. And what I'm missing is Clemson went 15-0. They didn't lose a game. I mean, even Alabama wasn't this dominant in those great years. They usually had a loss when they won their national championship. Clemson went unbeaten and won the national championship. So my hat off goes to them, and Dabo has certainly built a dynasty there at Clemson in his own right.
I mean, I think this is kind of one of the cooler rivalries. You know, we saw, you know, there was a report that, you know, Dabo said to Nick Saban after the game, see you next year. You know, it's like, it's almost like, I feel like this is a mini sort of dynasty rivalry. I mean, Clemson has the national titles. You know, Alabama has the consistently number one ranking, and you know they have a few national titles to back it too. So more than a few national titles to back it up. So I'm excited about the future of this rivalry because I don't think it's over.
I don't think it's over. I mean, these two teams should be 1-2 heading into next year. Clemson gets Trevor Lawrence back. Then they've got those wide receivers in Ross and Higgins. Clemson loses that D-line. They lose Mitch Hyatt, their left tackle. But their defense is going to be intact for the most part, I think. And obviously, they're going to reload. Alabama is mostly going to lose Jonah Williams. They're going to lose Quinnen Williams. They'll lose a couple of guys on that defensive line as well. Obviously, they'll lose Damian Harris, but they get those wide receivers back. They get Tua back. I'm sure, you know, Jacobs is going to return. Najee Harris is definitely coming back because he's going to be a true junior next year. So, yeah, these teams should be the favorites next year again. To meet up in the championship game. There's no doubt about it. Who do you think is going to challenge them next year?
You know, it just seems these two teams are there. I mean, you have to think Ohio State's going to be in the mix. You know, Oklahoma will be in the mix. But I see this as a two-horse race next year.
Like I said, I mean, these two coaches, they know how to motivate their teams and I'm sure they'll be back next year. All right, let's move on. We talked about Trevor Lawrence. Let's get to another quarterback. Dwayne Haskins has made it official. Redshirt sophomore who started only one season at Ohio State has decided to forego his two seasons, two college seasons, and here he is entering the draft out there. Is he the first quarterback on the board right now, the early favorite?
Yeah, I mean, in sort of a weak quarterback class, you know, he steps up and becomes number one. I do think this is the right time for him because I think he can be that sort of top five quarterback pick, you know, that quarterback that teams trade up for. You know, someone's going to love all the upside. That's what they're going to love about him. He's got an impeccable arm. I mean, him and Drew Locke, I mean, those are like generational arm strength, you know. I guess the question with Haskins is he's kind of an average accuracy guy. And, you know, is that something that's going to hurt him in the NFL? You know, does that kind of keep him from being sort of that elite, you know, number one starting quarterback, franchise quarterback?
You have to be an accurate guy in the NFL. It doesn't matter what kind of a quick release you have or old athletic ability or, you know, all the arm strength in the world. You have to become an accurate quarterback. I'm sure he's going to get overdrafted next year based on his upside. He does look like the early favorite for the number one quarterback off the board, especially with Herbert coming back. He made the right decision, Ed. Look, you've got Herbert next year. You've got Jake Fromm. You've got Tua. Too much competition at the quarterback position next year, and anything can happen. So he had a great year. Threw for 50 touchdowns and he's off to the NFL. So, you know, here's Justin Fields. He won't be the starting quarterback next year, but he will be in most likely in 2020. So the future looks bright for Ohio State. All right, let's move on to the wild card weekend. And it was a wild card weekend in the NFL, especially that Sunday night game. And that's the game between the Bears and the Eagles. I want to start with that, Ed. Because it was a crazy game. Both quarterbacks struggled in the first half. Both defenses played well. And then in the fourth quarter, the quarterbacks got hot, even Mitch Trubisky. And Nick Foles just continued to have that magic. And that kick in the end, it's an incredible game.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad for Parkey because he's going to get a lot more blame than he deserves. I mean, you know, I think I saw something on Twitter, you know, like a Bears fan was, you know, going for a 42-year-old kick and he said, oh, I can make it. And he went up there and he shanked it. I mean, you know, these guys play with a lot of pressure and, you know, he was about as close as you can be to making that kick. And I know that Parkey's not, you know, had a very good year in Chicago and I'm sure they're going to want to move on from him. But, you know, it's too bad. It's too bad that it came down to that.
Well, it was apparently blocked, Ed. I mean, the kick was touched by the Eagles player. So all the blame that Cody Parkey is getting, apparently it was tipped, and we don't know how significant it was, but, you know, probably that was the reason why he missed it. I realize that he's had all those missed kicks during the regular season, and the Bears could have pulled the trigger on him early, and he decided to stick with him. I don't think he's going to be kicking for the Bears next year. And to be honest with you, I hope he bounces back from this, because I've seen many kickers just disappear after, you know, after something like this. I mean, they were cut and never heard from again. Let's go to the Saturday game, Ed, another NFC matchup. You picked the Cowboys to, you know, to come out on top, beat the Seahawks, and you got it right.
Yeah, you know, I went back in my mind and I thought I had picked the Seahawks on the thing, because I was thinking, you know, Seahawks are just such a juggernaut, but you know, they seem to always kind of show up around this time of year. I thought there was a lot of back and forth in the game. Did you see the Allen Hurns injury? That was brutal. I mean, that's the part of football that I don't like. It's just like these brutal injuries. It's like, part of me feels like, I'm so passionate about football, but it's like it comes at a price, and that, you know, Allen Hurns definitely experienced that.
Well, I think the game came down to this. Both offenses wanted to run the football, and the Seahawks weren't able to do that consistently enough. Elliott went over 100 yards again, and he carried the Cowboys to that victory. And Prescott and Wilson made plays, but what it came down to is the Seahawks wanted to run the football, and the Cowboys defense just shut them down. They were unable to do that, and they tried to get a late comeback going, but obviously it wasn't enough. 2-point lead for the Cowboys, and they move on. Let's go to the AFC. Texans, Colts, first game obviously on Saturday. Andrew Luck had a great game. Marlon Mack was a big surprise, going over, what, he rushed for 148 yards, Ed. That was the surprising part to me. The Colts jumped out on top, and they held on. And Deshaun Watson just didn't have that magic.
Yeah, you know, the Colts had – I think the Colts really won last year's draft. You know, Darius Leonard and Braden Smith and, of course, our favorite Quentin Nelson. You know, just a lot of things look good for them. I mean, it seems like Frank Reich, you know, he wasn't their first choice, but he seems like he's the right guy for them.
That's the crazy part about this. They wanted Josh McDaniels. McDaniels accepted, then decided to leave. And then Frank Reich, you know, the guy who nobody wanted, he takes the job. The Colts were 1-5 to start the season. Here they are. I mean, the hottest team going into the playoffs and continuing their run. All right, the last game, the Chargers beat the Ravens, and Lamar Jackson, the rookie quarterback, just didn't have that magic. He looked lost until late in the game. Obviously, the Chargers kind of let them hang around, because Gus Bradley's defense was great. He designed an incredible game plan against Lamar Jackson. But, you know, Phillip Rivers can't get the Chargers in position. They have to score touchdowns, and they would have to do that against the Patriots.
You know, I have said on the show that eventually someone's going to figure out how to stop Lamar Jackson, and I think we saw it against the with the Chargers Ravens game. I know the Ravens fans are a little bit higher on Lamar Jackson, but I just I'll believe it when I see it. You know, and I know he had a great year, and I know he led them there. But, and you have to question whether they should have brought Joe Flacco into the game. I mean, he is a Super Bowl MVP. I mean, he's a guy who's been there. He certainly wouldn't have been nervous coming off the bench.
Well, I mean, Lamar Jackson looked pretty good in the fourth quarter. I mean, he did lead them back, right, to a couple of touchdowns out there.
Yeah.
So you have to say something about his character. I mean, obviously, I think Harbaugh made the right call by sticking with it.
I think you bring him back. I think you bring him back in the third quarter, and it wouldn't have been too little, too late for the Ravens.
All right.
I think you should have said halftime. Lamar Jackson's not doing it. That's when you bring out Joe Flacco.
Well, we'll never know. We'll never know if the outcome would have been different. Chargers go to Foxborough against the Patriots, against Tom Brady. They've got a shot, Ed. They got a pretty good shot. This is an experienced team with Phillip Rivers, with Keenan Allen. They get Hunter Henry back. I think he'll play a little bit. The only thing I'm worried about is how healthy is Melvin Gordon. And he's just he's playing out there. He's giving it his best, but he's not 100%. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
You know, I was gonna go with the Chargers, but then I found out something. There's snow in the forecast.
Okay.
And it's in New England, and so I'm gonna bet on the cold weather team on this game. But if all things being equal. The weather's not a factor. I would take the Chargers. I think they've been the better team. The Patriots, Tom Brady hasn't been himself. The defense hasn't been as good. If the Chargers can figure out how to play in cold weather, yeah, this could be an upset.
I'm going to go with the Chargers, Ed. I got to pull an upset here. I always go against the Patriots. I never get it right, especially in Foxborough. But I'm going to go with the Chargers here. Forget about the forecast. I get it. They're from California. It's going to be snowing. Phillip Rivers is not at his best in Foxborough, and Tom Brady has played in those conditions before. But I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think their defense is definitely going to be the difference. I realize that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels are going to design a great game plan, but I think the Chargers are ready. And I hope Melvin Gordon is going to be close to 100% because they need him running the ball. It's not going to be all about Phillip Rivers. All right, Cowboys. Obviously, we mentioned that the Cowboys are, they beat the Seahawks, and here they are in the divisional playoffs. I never saw them there, to be honest with you. I didn't think they were going to win the NFC East, and here they are playing in the divisional round. Can they keep their magic going, Ed?
I'm actually going to go with the Cowboys in this one. I'm just going to, I've noticed, the picks that I was wrong about this week. I didn't go with the hotter team, and, I should have went with the hotter team in the Colts against the Texans, and I didn't, and I'm kicking myself. And you know what? The Cowboys are just, they're playing good football right now. And so I'm going to go with them over the Rams. I know that's kind of an upset.
It is. Look, I'm going with another California team. The Rams are going to come out on top. They will figure this thing out. And I just think that Phillips, the defensive coordinator, is going to have something cooking, and the Rams defense is going to get it together. What they need to do is stop the run against Ezekiel Elliott, and that's going to be the key. It's going to be tough. The Rams haven't been they haven't stopped the run really well this year, but I think they'll get it together. The Rams have to move on. All right, let's go with another AFC, Kansas City against the Colts. Are you going with another hot team here?
Yeah, I got to go with the Chiefs. I'm now in.
I thought you were going to go with the Colts here.
No, I'm on the Chiefs bandwagon.
Okay.
I'm on the Patrick Mahomes bandwagon. I certainly wasn't on it around the 2017 draft, but he's proven to me that he is, the quarterback of the future in the NFL.
Jeez, I want to go with the Colts here, Ed. I really am tempted, but Arrowhead Stadium, it's going to be tough. It's one of the loudest places, if not the loudest, home stadium out there. And I think Mahomes and Andy Reid are going to do enough against the Colts. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think eventually the Chiefs move on just because, again, home field advantage here. Saints, Philadelphia, the last game. Is Nick Foles going to keep this magic going? I know the Saints, it's tough to play in New Orleans. It's going to be a loud place in the dome. Drew Brees and the Saints have been really successful at home, and they won a Super Bowl doing it, being that number one seed. Can the Eagles break up the, New Orleans party?
You know, there's a part of me that wants to go with Nick Foles just because he just doesn't seem to lose in the playoffs. But, you know, the Saints really look like the favorite. They look like the best team out there. I think they're playing the best of anybody right now. You know, they got a veteran quarterback. You know, this could be Drew Brees' last chance at a Super Bowl. At his second Super Bowl, but still a Super Bowl. And, you know, I think the Saints are going to be hungry.
I think the Saints will move on. Look, the Eagles' magical run will end this year. They obviously pulled out a great win against the Bears, but I don't think they can do it two straight weeks in a row against the New Orleans Saints. So, I have the Saints against the Rams in the NFC Championship game. Ed has the Saints against the Cowboys. In the AFC, we both have the Chiefs, but Ed has got New England. I've got the Chargers. I want that rematch, Ed. I want them to meet for a third time. I want to see the Chiefs and the Chargers, especially with the way the game ended, you know, when they met last time. You know, with the Chargers knocking on the door and winning it in the end with that 2-point conversion. So, it should be a great game. And this time it will be an Arrowhead again. So it's going to be incredible. I want to see that. I always love when teams meet for that second or third time during the season because they know each other so well. All right. Let's move on to, we wanted to, since the NFL season ended, playoffs. We wanted to talk about top 10 rookies in the 2018 season. So, Ed, give me your list.
All right. So, first I got Darius Leonard, and I'll admit, Alex, you were right about him. I was wrong. I thought he should have done better against bad competition, but he's proven that he's already a top 5 linebacker in the league. Number 2, I got Quentin Nelson. You know, we knew he was going to be good. You know, he was our favorite. He was both of our favorites, really. Derwin James, you know, this is a guy both of us liked. And, you know, he's a real playmaker. And the Chargers were lucky to get him where they got him. Number 4, I got Michael Dixon, the 4th All-Pro. And I kind of just put him here because he's All-Pro. He's as a punter. Although I kind of worry about him having to kick, you know, when Janikowski came back.
Hating on Saquon Barkley completely. I mean, here we are. We've got 4 guys, and deservedly so. I mean, all 4 of these guys deserve to be in there because, you know, all pros and all of that. But come on, Saquon Barkley, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Ed. He gained over 2,000 yards. Not many guys have done that during their rookie season. Actually, only 2 rookie running backs before him were able to gain 2,000 yards. You're hating on him a little bit. Come on, admit it.
I didn't give him the best draft grade when I watched the film on him. I mean, I thought the film was really good. I don't know.
He's an explosive runner that just makes big plays in the passing game and in the run game. You just have to live with it. He's never going to be a guy that's going to gain, you know, 3-4 yards consistently by putting that head down. He's always going to look for that window to bounce it outside. And, you know, he's powerful. He's got great speed. He can do it. I mean, Barry Sanders was doing that for a decade out there. And just get used to it. Saquon Barkley, I mean, is already looking like a top 3, top 5 running back in the league. He had a great rookie season. Might not be the best inside runner out there, but he's got a unique running style that works for him. I'm just surprised you didn't put him in the top 4. Continue. You even put the punter ahead of Saquon Barkley. I mean, with all due respect to Michael Dixon, he's probably the best punter already. But come on. All right, continue.
All right, and then you're going to get sick of hearing this name, but, you know, this is a guy I loved. Leighton Vander Esch.
Okay.
You know, I think he's really proven himself to be one of the better linebackers already in the league.
Absolutely.
I think he deserves some of the credit for, you know, how the Cowboys came back this year and now we're making a run into the playoffs. So I give him some credit. Yeah, it's funny you bring up Baker Mayfield because he's on my list. I thought he deserves the credit to be in this top 10 because I think he was the best rookie quarterback of all of them. He's the only one on my list.
He was. He set the rookie record for 27 touchdown passes. And look what he did with the Browns franchise when he got in there. Once they got Hugh Jackson out there, I mean, Baker Mayfield took off. So the future is bright for the Browns. I mean, look at their record. I mean, what did the Browns go? Like 7-8-1? I mean, that's incredible, Ed.
I mean, how many years have we been at this time saying, okay, the Browns are going to have to draft another quarterback. Who are they going to take?
well, they definitely chose the right guy. And you and I missed on him. And I'm not afraid to say that because Baker has gotten it done, and he's only going to get better from here on. So the future looks bright for the Browns, and they definitely got their guy with that number one overall pick.
So, yeah, I think we got to start looking at undersized quarterbacks. So that's my plug for Will Greer.
Absolutely, but that's absolutely not. But go ahead. Absolutely not. I mean, look at the undersized quarterbacks: Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees. They don't come around too often. And don't start looking for that undersized quarterback in the next draft, Ed. Don't do it. Don't make that mistake with Will Greer. But continue. That's another day, another conversation.
All right. A guy I like this year, you know, is an undrafted guy. A guy we brought up in the show as an undrafted guy when we did the running back show, Philip Lindsay, running back for the Broncos. You know, I watched him. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a CU fan. I'm a University of Colorado fan. So I've been watching him in college, and you know, he had a good career. But I definitely didn't think he would be as good as he's been this year.
He got his chance with his local team out there. So I'm trying to understand this. Is Saquon Barkley in this top 10 or not?
No, I didn't have him in my top 10.
Wow, Ed. Wow. All right, we should stop this list already. All right, continue. I can't believe you put Philip Lindsay over Saquon. Come on. I mean, check out his stats. Check out what he did. You're hating on the Giants. You really are. All right, continue. I'll stick up for you, Saquon, at the end of this. Go ahead.
all right, I'm going to go with Puna Ford, nose tackle. I think he's had a really good year. I mean, he's kind of low on the list because he's just a nose tackle, and, you know, those just aren't as valuable in today's NFL. But, you know, he's doing his job, so I think he should definitely get some credit there.
I mean – I'm speechless. I'm speechless when Puna Ford makes the list instead of Saquon Barkley. Is that a top 10? Is that what it is?
Well, that's my number 8.
That's your number 8. All right, continue. All right.
You know, a guy I think has been underrated, and you know what? Nick Saban said good things about him. Alex Kavtov said good things about him. Now I'm kind of sold on him. Levi Wallace, cornerback of the Bills.
All right, fair enough. I mean, a guy that's just completely off the radar there. I mean, he went undrafted, but had a pretty solid rookie season. But again, you're putting Levi Wallace over Saquon. Come on, man. Come on. As much as I love Levi, come on, revise your list. Put Saquon Barkley as your number 10. Save face right now. I mean, cross out the name and put Barkley in there.
All right, I'll put Saquon Barkley in that list. I mean, he has been a very productive back. I think he's actually been better than I thought he was going to be. I had him in fantasy. He helped me in fantasy. So, I'll put him
all
in
right.
there.
All right, good.
Can I add my 11th name then?
Go ahead.
There's one other guy that I like.
Go ahead. We'll make it 11. Go ahead.
Okay. This is a guy I was pretty sour on, and I think you were too. Deshaun Hand of the Lions.
Okay. Yes.
He ended the season on IR, but I think he had a much better year than we thought he would.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. He contributed. As a 4-3 guy, I didn't think that he belonged as for a 4-3 team. I felt like his best position would be as a 5 technique. Obviously, Matt Patricia got very good usage out of him. What I'm also surprised about, Ed, I like your list. I do. And I'm glad you put Saquon Barkley there because he's going to win offense. He's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And most likely he's the next Marshall Faulk. And it's just, that's a fact. But I'm surprised you didn't put Bradley Chubb on there. I'm also shocked because, look, Chubb is your hometown guy. You were high on him coming out of the draft. He finished with 12 sacks. He's poised to be a pro bowler in the near future. Didn't make it this year. But him and Von Miller are going to continue to wreak havoc there. And Chubb is just was an incredible pick out there for a guy. I'm also surprised he didn't put Denzel Ward there. I mean, Ward had – obviously the Browns went with Ward over Chubb, and he quickly emerged as – you know, as the top corner guy for the Browns. He showed good ball skills and the ability to match up against, you know, guys on the outside because you and I felt like he was going to spend half the time in the nickel, and he didn't do that. He was an outside cornerback. So, and another guy, Nick Chubb from the Browns. Once he got his opportunity in week 7, he ran with it. He was one of the best backs in the game, period, not only as a rookie. But he was breaking tackles, running hard, and gaining over 100 yards. Anybody who picked up Nick Chubb in fantasy definitely won their league because Nick Chubb was a consistent playmaker. And Roquan Smith, my boy Roquan Smith, I got to put him in there. I realize that people talk about Khalil Mack, they talk about that D-line, but Roquan Smith, once he became a full-time contributor, he just ran with it. He's a bad, bad man. So those are a couple of guys I wanted to include. So I'm a little bit surprised you didn't get Bradley Chubb in there.
Yeah, I probably should have put him in there too. I think there would be a few that I'd change now that I've kind of talked about it.
All right. Like I said, Bradley and Saquon, I'm sticking up for you. I'm sticking up for you. All right. Let's talk about scouting reports. We do this every week, and We get to it mostly at the end of the show. So let's start with another bad linebacker who hasn't declared for the draft just yet officially, but we expect them to. Linebacker from LSU, Devin White.
So, I mean, the things that jump out to me on tape are, you know, good instincts. I think he's a guy who could definitely be in a blitz-heavy system. He's got good speed. I think he'll be a combine warrior. I saw him drop into zone a lot, but here's the thing. I never really saw him in man coverage, and I find that so important to linebackers. And, you know, I don't know how high I would take him because I don't know if I can trust him to put him on a tight end or something like that. You know, he's a first round guy, you know, you want to be able to put him on a tight end, but you know, as far as maybe putting him as a middle linebacker, I think he would really excel there.
But let's compare him, and we're doing this because Devin White has been projected to go in the top 10, top 15. How do you rate him against a guy like Roquan Smith? How do you compare him with the guy like Denzel Perryman? How do you compare him with C.J. Mosley? How do you compare him with your boy, Ryan Shazier, for the Steelers? All great linebackers that have come out and were, well, I mean, three of those guys were first-round picks. Denzel Perryman went in the second round to the Chargers. But I considered those guys great when they were coming out of the draft. How do you compare Devin White with those guys?
The coverage thing bothers me in today's NFL. You can really put him in the category with the, you know, they're almost different. You know, Ryan Shazier, I mean, he's more of a Mac linebacker, and Roquan Smith, you know, he's more of a Will linebacker. And, you know, those are guys who can cover a tight end. And I just don't see that in Devin White. I see a guy who dropped a lot into zone at LSU. And, you know, and I think if that's what you want to do with your middle linebacker, you know, that's great, but I don't feel comfortable putting him as the Will, or I certainly wouldn't have him as a Mac linebacker in a 3-4.
So do you see him more as a early second round pick than a first round pick?
Well, I think he's a first round pick because I think he's a perfect, I think he's a stud middle linebacker. He's like a, You know, he's like a top of the line, downhill middle linebacker.
You know what bothers me about Devin White? And this bothered me every time I watched him in different games. He doesn't make enough impact plays. Even in the run game. It's just, I want that linebacker to attack downhill and make more plays behind the line of scrimmage. He didn't do that. I also feel like at times he struggles getting off blocks. I mean,
I had that in my scouting report too.
And it's true. He has a tough time disengaging. For a guy who's about 6'1", well, probably about 6 feet, he's about close to 6'1", 240. For a guy that big, he's not 220 like Deion Jones was when he was coming out of LSU and relied on his speed to, you know, to run around guys. He takes on blocks, but he doesn't disengage. He doesn't shed that well. It's kind of hit and miss with him. I also feel like he misses those tackles. I mean, when he gets that opportunity, I'm not saying he's missing like, you know, one out of two, but I want my linebacker to be able to tackle well. He's got to be a good tackler. I felt like Devin White missed some tackles on quarterbacks and running backs once they got to the second level. He was kind of, he was faked out by their juke moves out there. He's got to stay square to the target, and he's got to become a better tackler. So I'm actually surprised you saying that he's like a perfect middle linebacker for a 4-3, because my perfect middle linebacker in a 4-3 makes plays, able to disengage from blocks, and is a really good tackler. And Devin White struggles in those components. Plus, when you add him not seeing him in coverage, in man coverage, we assume that he's probably going to be able to do it because he's got the speed and the athleticism too. But you haven't seen him do it enough at LSU because they were dropping off in zone coverage. So when you consider those things, I'm uncomfortable with him going in the top 20. I really am, even though I'm sure he's going to, once he enters the draft, he is going to, you know, he's going to do really, really well at the scouting combine because he is an athlete. But there's some things that I'm just not comfortable with Devin White, and I can't put him in that category with like C.J. Mosley and Roquan Smith. And he's not even in Denzel Perryman's category because Perryman was just, he was so instinctive. I mean, he knew what was coming. And Devin White has good instincts, but not great ones. So I was actually a bit disappointed once I studied him. And I felt like I saw the improvement from his sophomore to junior year because I compared my notes during the sophomore season and junior season. But it's not enough. And I would actually advise for him to go back. Because if he goes back for his senior year, he can improve his game even more. And then we might be looking at a guy, we might be talking about him in the top 10 in the 2020 draft.
All right. Yeah, I mean, he could come back. I saw one thing I did see on tape was that I saw a big improvement from 2017 to 2018 tape. I saw almost a different player in 2018 than I saw in 2017. In fact, when they were talking about him and they were talking about his 27 tape, I was like, what do they see in this guy? But I'm starting to see what they see in this guy in his 2018 tape.
He had those physical tools that people liked and I liked, and I felt like he would take a step forward. But I also feel that if he comes back, he can improve even more because Roquan Smith was, you know, what, like a early second round pick. But when he came out last year, he went in the top 10. I think Devin White has that ability as well. So I'm sure he's going to come out, Ed, but I just think if he comes back, he might improve his stock even more. All right, let's move on to a runner that I was kind of excited about. Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic. His nickname is Motor. It certainly fits him well. So let's talk about him. Let's talk about Mr. Singletary from FAU.
Well, I mean, I'm first going to say I overlooked this guy. I mean, he really surprised me. I was kind of surprised when you picked him as one of the guys we could do. But I mean, I saw a guy who hits the hole hard. He has decent speed. He has some height. He's got great vision. He's a patient runner. I think he has good moves. I guess the two things that kind of bother me about him or the weaknesses I see is I don't see him being much of a factor in the passing game, and I don't see him as a very good blocker. So I almost see him as kind of your first and second down runner, but I almost think he's the type of guy you take off the field on third down.
Here's the thing. During his freshman and sophomore season, they used him quite a bit in the passing game. For some reason this year, he only caught about 6 or 7 passes. And you don't see him catching the ball. But in those instances, I mean, he is open underneath. He runs good routes and he has good hands. I watched a couple of his games during his sophomore season. So he has that ability to run good routes and catch the ball out in the flat or those short routes. So I was impressed with that. He's also a really good blocker on the move, Ed. You know, when he's blocking for his quarterback or his fellow running back out there. So he's got that ability. You see the physicality there that make you think that he could be a good pass protector at the next level.
I was kind of shocked at their scheme. I mean, they were almost using him as a lead blocker, and I was just kind of confused. It was kind of a weird play, but I remember, you know, this one play just kind of sticks out of my head where he was almost used as a lead blocker for another running back.
He was, and for a quarterback quite a bit. So it makes you think that he can block on the move. He can get those people. He can cut block out there. And I've seen him being able to step up and handle those pass rushers or blitzers in those situations, in those rare situations.
I that's where I kind of disagree. I don't see him very good at picking up the blitz.
Okay. All right. So you think he blows those assignments?
I wouldn't say he completely blows those assignments, but you know, he needs to get better if he wants to be a three down back.
Fair enough, but every running back in this draft class or any other draft class has to improve. I mean, he has to be better as a blocker just coming out. What I like about Singletary is I like his great vision. He's an incredibly patient runner, and sometimes it gets him into trouble when he's waiting for that hole. He can certainly make that first guy miss, and you always look at that with the running back. I mean, can he make that first defender miss? And he has that. I mean, he always makes the first defender miss, even though the offensive linemen in front of him are just, they're not very good. They're not going to get drafted. A lot of the defenders are collapsing down on him. They're, you know, shooting those gaps, and he's already at a disadvantage trying to make that guy miss behind the line of scrimmage. He bounces off tacklers on a consistent basis, runs with a good pad level. Two question marks with me in terms of Devin Singletary. Size, I mean, he's got like a thick trunk. He's got a really good lower body, but he's only about 5'8". I mean, he's going to check in at about 5'8". It's a little bit less ideal than where I would like him. I mean, I would like him to be 5'9", 5'10". And also I question his speed. He doesn't have that breakaway speed. Once he gets to the second level, he's not going to run away from anybody. And he gets those longer runs. He's a big play threat, but I question that long speed. And he doesn't – I think he's going to struggle a bit turning that corner at the next level. So those are my couple of question marks. But you know what? When I see Singletary, he reminds me of Devontae Freeman when he was coming out of Florida State. I see some similarities in their game as runners. They both run hard. They both broke tackles, and they can make that first defender miss.
Okay. Well, I mean,
continue. Go ahead.
I mean, my feeling is that he's probably a second round. He's probably a second round back. You know, I don't think he's quite in that first round category.
I think he's a third round back. As much as I love him. As much as I love him, and he's one of my favorite backs on this draft, let me put it out there right now. He's one of my favorite backs in this weak crop of runners. I mean, we've seen some underclassmen enter the draft, but it's still an average group, especially compared to next year's group. But Devin Singletary is one of my favorite runners in this class. But as much as I love him, the speed factor, the fact that he's a bit undersized in terms of his height, I'm going to put him in that third round. But in the third round, somebody's going to get a steal. Continue, Ed. I mean, you got him in the second round. You obviously feel good about him. Continue. What do you want to say?
Well, I just – the thing that really impresses me about him is that And you kind of already talked about it, was that, I mean, he's really has no offensive line. I mean, he's going against, like, I saw him run against teams like Oklahoma, you know, UCF, and he's still breaking off good runs. And I mean, his offensive line is getting manhandled. So that tells me that he's a talent that's going under the radar.
Oh, definitely is. Definitely is. And I mean, if you look for all those statistical geeks out there, if you look at what he was able to do, all the tackles that he broke, all the yards gained after contact, you'll be amazed by his numbers. And you see that on tape as well. Even if you don't watch the tape, even if you're just looking at the numbers, he is a guy that's just consistent. He'll make that first defender miss, and he'll continue to keep those feet going, churning and picking up yards after contact. So you give him a good offensive line, I think this guy could be a really good back at the next level, because his vision is really impressive.
Yeah. No, the division is definitely something that stands out for me too.
All right. This was Blitzcast number 41. Thank you for listening. We'll come back next week and talk about some more exciting things, like the playoffs and a few more scouting reports. Take care, boys and girls.